sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, a.k.a. Cookie, and I am joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing today?
Hey!
We record and stream live at twitch.tv Checkpoint XP every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come and join us as this is an interactive show. We have Omega Waltall, Dark Flux, Carletta, Real Chili on the line here. Welcome to the show. Not Your Player 2 can be found on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review. We don't have a review yet, so we would love to read it on the show, either it's good or bad. Coming up later on this show, fashion. Just because we can. So we are introducing you to our new fashion segment called What's She Wearing? But first, let's start off with this week's gaming news. Last week, Jade Raymond said that she will be vice president at Google, but she did not say what she will be VP for. This week at GDC, she confirmed during Google's keynote that she will be VP for Stadia Games and Entertainment, meaning that Google Stadia will have exclusive games. Just a reminder that Jade Raymond used to work with Ubisoft and EA with Assassin's Creed games and Star Wars games. The Google Stadia will be available this year. What did you think about the Google Stadia?
I mean, I'm pretty excited. I'll be curious to see how it works out. I'm certainly all in fan of this kind of idea. I mean, it's not exactly like this, but I don't know. Being able to just... Games these days have such a high price tag. And so having a little easier way to maybe, I don't know, try out games even if it's not quite like trying it out. I just think that I'm just excited to see what it will come to it. But I'm curious to see if it's really going to be what it's all kind of pushed up to be. But I think it's really exciting even in general that we've got a female lead on such a big gaming project.
Right. Right.
We get to hear that. So for that sake, I want to succeed. As far as the thing itself, I think it's definitely interesting, and I'm very curious to hear more.
Yeah, congratulations to Jade Raymond on her success with Google. I hope you bring on some good exclusive games for the Stadia. I'm a little bit wary about the Stadia because it's just a streaming box. What if you don't have no internet? That's the only question that I have for that.
Yeah, that's always been my problem. Whenever anything gets into internet-only focus, like whenever they have games these days that try to be that you have to be logged on the internet, that always makes me nervous.
Yeah.
I think it's a natural progression, I think, of games, unfortunately, is to be internet connected, but I don't know. I think it's not really a direction that I'm ready for. Maybe that just makes me sound old.
No, you're good. You're not even old. Just stop it. According to Cheddar, on April 4th at the Snap Partner Summit, Snapchat will be unveiling Project Cognac. The project will feature games on Snapchat, so like a mobile gaming system. Cheddar said that their invitation to the event has a tagline that says, "Less talk, more play." What do you think of Snapchat having mobile games?
Very strange. I don't use Snapchat myself, so this is... I don't. I'm one of, like, the only people that doesn't. It just was never anything that caught on with me. I think this is weird because this isn't how I thought Snapchat was like, just because Snapchat to me has always been very, you know... You give a picture to somebody and it kind of disappears. Not real. These days, though, I feel like so many apps are jumping on the gaming bandwagon, though. So I'll be curious to see what's going to happen with this one. What's going to make it different? What's going to make it stand out, you know?
I feel like Snapchat is being... Well, they are trying to be more relevant because ever since Instagram introduced their stories, people immigrated back to Instagram. So there's less Snapchat users, at least to me. So... I guess they're seeing like stats that more mobile users use mobile games. So Snapchat's trying to say, hey, come back to our platform. We got some games that you can play. I just wonder what kind of games that they would have on Snapchat. That's the only thing.
Yeah. I guess I remember when Facebook first brought its games and that was kind of weird, but now it's just, it seems so natural. It's to the point of nuisance. So all right, Snapchat, we'll see if this works for you.
Yeah, we'll see. PlayStation announced their State of the Play will be Monday, March 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Much like a Nintendo Direct, they will be featuring upcoming PlayStation and PlayStation VR titles. What do you think is coming up with PlayStation, or what do you hope for PlayStation?
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. Just anything. I don't know. Just anything. There's been nothing. We've heard nothing. They didn't do the thing that they did last year. They didn't do that, and they're not at E3 again this year. So
that's right. I was about to say, yeah. I'm excited to see what they're going to bring to E3, but they're not going to be at E3 this year.
So I don't know. Just anything. I don't know. I think the problem is that they're doing so much nostalgia stuff that at this point I'm just kind of just want something that's just new and fresh. That's kind of been my feeling in general with the gaming industry, though. There's just so much nostalgia tied, which is great, which is cool, remastered and all that stuff. I'm a fan, but at the same time, I just want something new, and I just hope. That's my main hope. I don't know what it's going to be. Just something new.
Right. I'm a little bit interested too, though, because they said PlayStation VR titles. What else are they going to use for PlayStation VR? I don't think a lot of people has a PSVR right now.
Not that I know of. I mean, I certainly don't have one.
Yeah, I don't have one.
I've tried the VR before.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I mean, it makes you... I remember, because I tried it with this really bad Batman game, and I remember part of it is you had to go down the elevator, and you felt like you were in the elevator. I don't know how they did it, but it was weird. So I will say, from what I've, you know, experienced through VR, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
But what kind of games can you make realistically for it? I don't know.
They do need to have more games for the PSVR. At least until they do have more games, then I'll probably get a PSVR.
Right.
Girls Make Games is partnering with Media Molecule and PlayStation to host their first ever United Kingdom workshop. Workshops take place on April 9th and April 10th at Guildford, UK, and April 11th and April 12th in London. Girls between the ages of 10 and 14 will learn how to design and create their own games in Dreams, which is Media Molecule's upcoming creation game for PlayStation 4. Best of all, these workshops are completely free. So check it out at girlsmakegames.com. Now, I wish I was young again.
Why can't I be 10 to 14 in the UK?
Right?
I'm so jealous. I am so jealous. I will say my only concern is the idea. I haven't heard of Dreams, so I don't know what kind of creation it is. And my only concern with that is like, I mean, realistically, is that going to be used for making games in the future? I guess it's a good starting point, though, if you're interested in that kind of field.
And you're a younger girl, too, so.
Yeah, so it is, I mean, anything to kind of jump off from that creative standpoint and going more specific from there. Because I did take a couple courses in, like, game design. Nothing for a major in college, but I did take a couple even in high school. And there's so many different kind of programs out there, and trying to stay relevant of which one you're going to need for a job is always a little bit difficult. But same time, it garners interest, though, so I am a fan, and I'm very jealous.
Yes, very jealous. Real chilly in the chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says that Dreams is an incredible tool. It has modeling features, sound edit, 3D world creation. So
maybe I need to download this. Is it only for the PS4? For PC?
That's what it says, PlayStation. So also, good on PlayStation for heading such a project like this.
Yeah.
The 19th annual Women in Gaming Rally panel was held at GDC this past week. Women in the gaming industry came together, discussed the future of inclusion in gaming and its slow growth, and the necessity of representation in the gaming industry. Helen Chiang, the studio head for Minecraft, led the keynote and says, "Each of us on our own can do amazing things by ourselves, and working together as a community, we can do so much more." Also in attendance is moderator Mixer's Kate Yeager, Fiji Simo, head of Facebook app, Eunice Lee, she is the senior vice president at Activision, Molly Maloney, she is the lead narrative designer at Bad Robot Games, Gabby Mikkel, she is the senior hardware program manager at Microsoft, who also worked on that new Xbox adaptive controller, Anne Blundell Julien of Ubisoft, and Ashley Alicia with Unity. Let's just say that is one heck of a panel.
What a panel. I wish I was there. Wow. That's just so, I mean, she can't have said that any better than I could have. Like, that's just awesome. I mean, you have all these women from all different fields and all different companies. You know, you usually get a lot of this, like, can't talk to each other because you're from an opposing company.
Right.
And this is just awesome. I mean, because, like, yeah, we can't, we really can't afford to beat each other down depending on what company we're from. We just can't afford it, ladies. We can't.
No.
You know, so this is awesome. And, you know, I had no idea about, you don't get to hear about these people all the time. So good on them. And that's super exciting. And I'm glad there's being more that's just public about this.
Right. And I love the fact that they're saying if there's more community, more people supporting each other, then yes, we can definitely get more women into the gaming industry, or, you know, women who are too scared to get into the gaming industry. It's like, hey, we're here to support you too. So awesome on them. I love this panel so much. Tell us what you think about the latest gaming news. Let us know on social media at Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up later, we talk fashion. But up next, what's your favorite video game music soundtrack?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Each week on our flagship show, Checkpoint XP, we feature your responses to our social media question. This week, our social media question was suggested by a listener at Drebo. Which game or game series has the best musical score or soundtrack, and why? There were so many good answers that we are totally going to cover it here too. Now, Sarah, you are the voice of the people on Checkpoint XP, but this time, this is not your player too. So let's hear what you think and what else you wanted to add.
Oh man! So on the on the flagship show, my answer was the Ace Attorney trilogy, Ace Attorney series in general, the Phoenix Wright games. Mostly because what's fascinating about that series is the games are pretty standard. You have your investigation sequences, your court sequences, and along it goes. It doesn't really stray from that. And each, when you're in the courtroom, there are different themes for, like, when you list an objection, which means, like, you're advancing the game, when you have a tense moment, or when anything like that. And each game has a different version of that theme. Like, they redo that theme for each game. So, like, again, they're known for their objection themes, but there's a new objection theme in every single game, and they're all really good. So it's not the same music, but I'm just so impressed with how diverse and just how, like, earwormy all the music is. But I also need to add is that I had a weird thing where I grew up with Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross, and especially Chrono Cross, because that was strangely my brother's favorite game. So, like, Chrono Cross music has always been... Yeah, I know. The less liked one, too. Chrono Cross has always been, like, a huge part of, like, just my growth in music. As in, I just listened to that soundtrack all the time as a kid. And it was also the first soundtrack I figured out how to find, like, on the internet to listen to. I figured out, like, how to, like, type it into Google, find a website that plays the music. Yeah, this is what I'm doing. So it's very significant to me, and I used to try to learn how to play some of the themes on the piano and stuff like that. I even made up my own, like, remix of one of the songs on the piano with tracks and stuff like that.
Oh, how cute!
Yeah! I used to be musically talented. So that really is significant to me. But what about you?
My top favorite that I always play that I'm always cool with is, of course, Nobuo Uematsu with the Final Fantasy series, especially Final Fantasy IX, because Final Fantasy IX is my top favorite game. There's just something about it that you can either just, like, rock to or just kind of be mellowed out to. It's just kind of relaxing to me. But, you know, everyone always is going to say, you know, the Final Fantasy series. It's one of the most popular musical games.
It's just all beautiful music. I listen to the piano, like the piano version of those tracks, and it's just so nice. Like,
yeah.
It's very relaxing and very difficult. Trying to play, like, I've tried to get the sheet music to a lot of those songs, and yikes.
Yeah, I've seen those. But if I have to give, you know, props to another composer, it would have to be Hideki Naganuma. He did the music for Jet Set Radio. Oh my God, Jet Set Radio Future. I love that game, and especially when they even have a DJ character. So you're just basically skaters kind of spray painting, marking territory. It's probably like Splatoon before. But their music is, they have like kind of like a 60s version. They have, you know, the scratching DJ version songs, but, you know, it's always rocking. It's always, you know, let's get going. Let's keep moving. So it really worked out with that skater theme.
Awesome.
Who else did you have in mind?
One person I have to mention, because female composer, is Yoko Shimomura. She's done so many games. I kind of first like knew, like I've heard her in other games, but I first like came to be introduced to her through Kingdom Hearts. And with those games, especially like, you have remixes of Disney songs, which, are very well done because they have to be travel songs. But at the same time, then you have like your own creative themes and stuff like that. And my goodness, I do love Kingdom Hearts music a lot. But
she does Kingdom Hearts music.
Yes.
Oh, I missed what game that she
did. Oh, sorry. She did Kingdom Hearts.
Okay,
yes.
I see.
But she's done so many. She did Super Mario RPG. She's done Street Fighter 2. She started with Capcom and then worked on Final Fight, Street Fighter 2, moved on to Square with Parasite Eve, Legend of Mana, which I forgot she did Legend of Mana. I love that music too. Kingdom Hearts, and you know, it's just so so good. We don't hear a lot about with female composers, especially Japanese, you know, female composers. So it's really, she's really made her own on the scene from a long time ago, you know, until now. Definitely was like one of the big ones, I would say.
Wow, that's a fact that I didn't know. I didn't know she did the Parasite Eve music. That's another soundtrack that I like from Parasite Eve. Another one that I want to say what up to is basically Hotline Miami. I don't know who does the music for that, but if you ever played Hotline Miami, it's a game from Devolver Digital. It's basically 80s, I guess 80s chip, not chip bit.
Chiptune?
Chiptune. It'll kind of a little bit chiptune. They're kind of like 80s 8-bit chiptune music.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's a little ravey too, but kind of, I don't know, it's just so mellow and just something to chill to. Like, I think you can find the soundtrack on YouTube. You can just play it. It'll be like your background music if you're just working or whatnot. So.
Yeah, and the other person I have to give a shout out to, Jeremy Soule. The main reason I want to shout out to him is because he does the Elder Scrolls series music, but he also did Knights of the Old Republic, and that game is very close and dear to my heart. Yes, so definitely a big shout for that. He also did Neverwinter Nights and Guild Wars, amongst lots of other games, but those are kind of his most famous ones, I would say, at least. I'm sure there's other games other people love that he did, too. But Elder Scrolls, I certainly knew more. I got more into Skyrim. I kind of missed the Morrowind phase, and I know the music there is really good, though. I have heard it. I just haven't played the game myself. And, of course, Oblivion. But it's just, it's always just so pretty with the setting. No. It's just always so relaxing. Funny story, when I used to work in a school, there was a fourth grade teacher who was a colleague of mine I worked with, and he would just play like relaxing music as his students came in. And he played Skyrim music sometimes.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the other person I just need to add real quick is Toby Fox did most of the music for Undertale.
Of course.
I have to. I'm sorry. It wasn't really quick, though. But it's really good, especially since it's when you find out that it's written by the guy who made the game. And all the music is just very memorable. And actually, he does a lot of work with motifs. With that game, especially with some of the main characters that you may not realize till you go back to it. And it's just, all the themes are just so amazing. And they start off very simple, like chiptune stuff, so you don't really think anything of it. And then you get to the main boss battle themes, you're like, oh, this ain't 8-bit anymore.
Oh, gosh.
And it's just so cool. And I guess I also just love, like, everyone's remix of that music is just always amazing.
Oh, yeah. Ever since Undertale's music came out, there's been so many remixes, especially with Game Chops. Game Chops has some great remixes on Undertale music. So shout out to you. So what is your favorite video game soundtrack? Be sure to follow us on social media at Checkpoint XP at Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP at Instagram. Give your responses each week to our social media question, and it may be read on air at Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Right, moving forward, we want to go on to our fashion segment called What She Wearing. And in this segment, we kind of pick a female character who's, we want to just talk about what they're wearing, you know, whether it's functional, whether it's nice and cool, all that kind of stuff. And our first person out that we need to talk about is Lara Croft.
And that's right. So Lara Croft first appeared in 1996 with her game Tomb Raider, of course. So let's describe what she first wore. It looks like it's just, you know, a regular bluish, like a light blue sea green tank top.
Very muddy.
Very muddy. It's not even low cut. It's just like a regular crew neck tank top. The only thing, it's like short shorts, dark khaki shorts. She's wearing her, I guess it's up to her calf boots and some socks, a Hollister, a little brown backpack, a belt, and, you know, her pair of guns. What do you think of this outfit?
I mean, it's iconic, right? It definitely speaks that sexy adventurer vibe. You can't really get out from that, and we all know that was kind of what they were going for. The only thing I have to say is having those gun holsters where it attaches to your skin and along the khakis must be uncomfortable for chafing. That's my only concern. I'm just being realistic. Like, just the way that's attached when you get sweaty, it's probably not that comfortable.
No, slide. Probably not.
But otherwise, I mean, she's out and adventuring a lot. Maybe get some elbow pads and knee pads might be some good. A lot of skin exposure. That's just fine for when it's hot, but maybe not so good for those scrapes when you're on stone walls inside of
caves.
Just my opinion.
Exactly.
But I'm always up for some good calf or thigh high boots, so I'm down with those.
Oh, and, yeah. Boots anything, anytime, anywhere. Yeah. Angelina Jolie in the very first Tomb Raider movie tried to get that kind of look. I think Angelina Jolie wore the black, just, you know, all black. And it kind of reflected on the later Tomb Raider games where, you know, Lara Croft did wear all the black. So she is actually wearing that gun holster on the skin.
And on the she is, but I mean, she's also an actress. She wasn't doing her own stunts. I'm just saying.
I thought she did her own. Well, okay, some
did
of the stunts she did.
Well,
because I remember seeing a scene in the Tomb Raider where it's like she's a little bit too bulky. I'm like, oh, that's a man right there.
Oh. Did you get a female stunt double? That's weird.
I don't She's a little bit too bulky.
Trash Man of TV on the chat trying to tell me that women don't sweat, they glisten. But I can tell you from personal experience, I disagree. But yeah, but nope. I mean, hey, Angelina Jolie really did. I have to say, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the first Tomb Raider movie, just my personal thing. It was fine for the time. But she definitely wears the look very well of that early Lara Croft, I have to say.
Yes, she got the lips, she got the braid, she got the hair.
She got the body,
definitely. I actually love that movie just because it's like, hey, video games are going into Hollywood. Let's go. Let's bring in Lara Croft. But
yeah, I mean, from that perspective, it's great. And it was a great action movie.
Yeah.
I know my dad liked it a lot. I'm not sure if he liked it for the right reasons, but he liked it a lot.
Oh, no. Is your dad a fan of Angelina Jolie?
But moving along, I mean, her clothes have kind of changed. They've kind of tried to give her a little bit more clothing. They seem to listen to my knee pad suggestion by giving her pants. In a lot of I'm kind of looking at the rise of the Tomb Raider outfit, where she's actually wearing a leather jacket. She's wearing like a leather jacket, kind of a gray shirt. It's not really a tank top, it doesn't look like, because it's actually got like a
little hoodie
neckline. Yeah, she's wearing her belt with her gun holster again, and it's over jeans, which I think would be a little easier to manage. And of course, with those lovely boots I do so adore.
No braid this time. It's just a high ponytail.
No braid. It is a high ponytail. Yeah, that's the thing, because earlier, Laura always had a high ponytail. I love high ponytail, so I was all about that. Later ones did a high braid. I said that wrong.
Yes.
Well, earlier games had a high braid, and I'm all about that look. Newer games did more of a ponytail look. It's okay.
The hair is all over her face. I just don't understand that.
That's just the thing. Yeah, I know. Earlier versions always made sure that, like, oh, hair is out of the face, because that's obvious. You don't want to sweat over it. But I don't know. Like, whenever they do any kind of character... like female characters always with the hair in front of the face, even though they're supposed to be in adventures. Like, it's gonna get really sweaty and sticky, and it just gives you horrible acne. So it's just stop it.
No, most definitely. Oh my gosh, I had to laugh because Sarah on the video right now. If you're not tuned in at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, she literally put little pieces of hair in front of her. It looks so wacky.
I'm very active and physically expressive. So that's just how I roll. But that kind of the newer game kind of really inspired the newer movie, which I actually quite enjoyed. Did you get to see the newer movie?
I did. It's done a little bit better than the first Tomb Raider movie, which I appreciate, and it also did correlate with the reboot of The Rise of the Tomb Raider. So I really do appreciate she worked. I forgot the actress name. Do you remember what the actress's name?
I don't
oh no.
But we can look this up.
But yeah, she's wearing the pants. She's a lot more muddier, more dirtier from before the last Tomb Raider, where, you know, you're still clean, you're just slick, you're a super agent, you know, kind of thing. But
Alicia Vikander.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's the name.
Thank you. Anyway. Yes. But yeah, she's portrayed more dirtier, more, you know, that's all about The Rise of the Tomb Raider, where she's more of a survivor in this series. So she does have the pants. They added a bandage on her, so just to show, hey, I've been hurt, but I'm still going. She has her axe. The axe and the bow and arrow was her two go-to weapons in The Rise of the Tomb Raider. So,
yeah, it's interesting. They're not jeans, though. I have to point that out. In the movie version, they're actually like cargo pants. So
right.
They just like extended the original shorts, which looks great. And she's wearing that tank top still too. But it's just kind of a grimier look. It's definitely a younger look. It's definitely a different look. Less of the kind of sexy adventure, more of the kind of grungy, yikes, life or death kind of thing. Which,
I like.
You know, I appreciate.
I appreciate that too. And it has to be khaki cargo, because how else are you going to have all these items that you come out with?
It's true. Girls need pockets.
We've said this before over and over. We need our pockets.
I will say it till I'm blue in the face and probably till episode 100 of the show. Girls need some pockets. And it would not be a discussion on Lara Croft if we did not talk about her very famous, in my opinion, kind of famous, gym outfit. I forget which. Is this in the first game that we see this outfit, or is it not till?
I want to say the second one, because you get introduced into her mansion.
Got it. Yeah, I think you're
the
right.
Whole
yeah.
training simulation or training, just going throughout the mansion, learning how to jump. And but I think
she's
that outfit showed a little bit more skin.
Well, a little bit, except she's wearing pants, which is interesting. She's wearing, like, looks like almost like gray karate pants, but they're gray sweatpants.
Sweatpants, yeah.
Yeah, sweatpants and, you know, gray sports bra, wearing the nice gym gray bands. It's all very gray with white trimming sometimes. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of the color, but I'll let it slide.
I don't understand what the underwear showing on the... You know, like, how
is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah,
I don't know if that was just like a, oh man.
No,
come on,
you know, I mean, like, you always have like the joggers or sweatpants, and then you have a little bit of the top of the underwear lining shown. So, like, I think.
But we can get more cat called. Come on, this is going backwards.
Oh, real chilly in the chat says fan service.
Yeah. But listen, remember, there is no such way as trying to find her naked in the game. We've proved that they have shown that's not true. I'm not sure if you've heard about that.
Oh, I have. But nowhere in the game is she shown naked. It's only, I think in the movies, they only do like the silhouettes in the shower scene kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's only with Angelina Jolie.
I know.
Of course.
I specifically remember that because I remember my cousin was not allowed to watch that movie because of that.
Really? Just because of a shower scene?
Yeah. His parents were pretty strict. it's true. They didn't really do that much with that with the second movie. And don't listen to any rumors that tell you in the first Tomb Raider game that you can do that, because the code they're giving you just makes her blow up, so don't do it.
No.
I don't remember the code, but if you did like a certain turns and jumps or whatever, you know, buttons on the controller, and that was what was spread as the rumor of seeing her without clothes on, she just blew up.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. I like that. I remember those codes. The only codes that I've always kept for Lara Croft was the unlimited Uzis, I think, or was it just unlimited lives? You can go through the game without dying.
Mm-hmm.
That was with this. But the fact that the one thing I really love about Lara Croft's outfit is that you can go to the store and just buy the things. And cosplay.
It's so simple.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Maybe have the guns.
Boots.
Guns might be a little hard. Yes. Guns might be a little hard. But no, it's super simple. It's super clad. I mean, it also like, I mean, I'm always going to make fun of the fact that in the first game, like I said, sexy adventurer, this is a little bit much. But I mean, otherwise, they're very simple and they're technically functional. So I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan too. All right, so what do you think of Lara Croft's fashion evolution? Connect with us on social media at CheckpointXP at Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP at Instagram. Let us know what you think of what she's wearing, and who do you want us to feature next? I think that takes it to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us today at Not Your Player 2 Podcast. We stream live every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Remember to join us for the discussion. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcasts. Leave us a review. We'll definitely read it on our show. Again, a good or bad. Checkpoint XP is where you can find more information, including our nationally syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as other podcasts such as the Checkpoint XP podcast, Checkpoint Daily Show, and Low Team Damage, our anything and everything podcast about Overwatch and the Overwatch League. You can also find news, interviews, and much more at checkpointxp.com. Thank you again for joining us at Not Your Player 2, and we are signing off. See you next time.
Bye-bye.